No, we live in a painful world, a pain-filled world. And the TV screens fill our living rooms with sights and horrific tragedies and difficulties all around the globe. It can be earthquakes or tsunamis or war or famine or flood or hurricanes. And sometimes it can just overwhelm your senses, and you look at some of the stuff that's been out there and the images that you see, and you just recognize it's beyond our ability to take care of all the needs that are there. And yet as you watch some of this, I think sometimes it can just deaden you, you know, to just, that's just the way it is. But what moves a person to do something? You ever think about that? Sometimes you get done doing something, you go, why did I do that? You know, what moves me from being passive to being active? What takes me from being withdrawn to being a participant in a situation? And I'd like to just look at some stories today of Jesus, because we're told in the scriptures that we're to put on a heart of compassion. That's our key text today, Colossians chapter 3. To put on a heart of compassion. And yet, how do we get there? What does that look like? So turn with me, if you would, not to Colossians, we'll get there, but turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And I want us just to look at Jesus' compassion and allow that to permeate your heart. To see how he responds to situations and say, What do you want me to learn? Because remember, the scripture says that whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through the perseverance and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. So God put these stories in here that we might learn something from them, not just have more information. So Matthew 20, verse 29 it says, as they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, and two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. Now that's a reasonable request, right? But notice this. The crowd sternly told them to be quiet. So here's these blind men, they're calling on Jesus, and the crowd that's following Jesus is saying, shut up! Don't bother him! That's compassion, huh? They said, be quiet! But these guys had it down. They cried out all the more, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us! They could hear the crowd going by, right? I mean, can you imagine being blind and you could feel this crowd going by, and you know that the person that could totally change your life is walking right in front of you. You could never have put yourself in this place. And they're just going to say, I'm going for it. And friends, I don't care what your need is. This is free. This isn't part of the outline or anything else. This is free. I don't care what your need is. If you are willing to call on Jesus and say, Lord, have mercy on me, he will have mercy on you. That's who he is. That's who he is. I don't care what anybody else has told you. That's who he is. And so they're telling him to be quiet, and Jesus stopped. Do you think he'd heard the crowd? I think he did. I think he heard the crowd. And he had to deal with this one. And it says, he stopped and he called them. And he said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Have you ever thought that Jesus had actually say that? But yet you read through the Gospels, and many times the disciples says, ask whatever you wish. What do you want me to do? And they said to him, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. What a great request. I hope that's your request this morning. Lord, would you just open my eyes to what I need to see? When I read my Bible in the morning, this is kind of one of my prayers. Lord, would you open my eyes to see what I need to see? Because I've read this before, but I need to see it afresh. But look at verse 34. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes and immediately they regained their sight and they followed him. Jesus was moved by compassion. So there was a situation and there were people walking by ignoring the situation. But what? Compassion compelled Jesus to do something about it. It compelled him. Needs are there, friends, but it is not automatic for you to meet them. Opportunities are around us, but it is not automatic that we respond to them. And in some situations, you'll find yourself saying, I have no idea what to do in this spot. And that's a great place to pray. Because God put you there, so it's not that you're not supposed to be there. You're in that spot, but you say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And he says, I know you don't, but I do. Just trust me. Just let him lead you. The Spirit of God will lead us if we ask, if we listen. Turn me back to Matthew 14. I want to show you another picture. So here's just a couple of individuals, and you see Jesus moved with compassion for these people. Over here in Matthew 14. The beginning of this chapter, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, the cousin of Christ, the man who really knew from God that Jesus was who he was, had been executed. You know, when you're on the planet and the one person who really could confirm that you are who you are is now dead, I think that had to hit Jesus. And it seems to indicate that in the 13th verse, when Jesus had heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. You ever have times like that? You just want to get away? You know, I don't want to be around a bunch of people right now. I just want to go think about what I'm processing. He wants to get away. But look what happens. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. Why did he go to the wilderness? To get away. What did he find? A crowd. At that spot, what would be your response? Get out of here! I want some time alone! Isn't that right? I can remember my mom saying that sometimes. You know, six kids, 900 square foot house. We compounded into her room one time and just like, leave me alone. And particularly we found out young. This is good testimony to my mom. I didn't know what I was learning, but I was learning at the time. She'd be on her knees. And I found out something. She did not get up off her knees. You compounded into her bedroom. She was in somebody else's presence. And you better just get out of there. She was busy. And you realize you were not the most important thing on the planet, even though you may have thought you were. But you know, there's times when you're just wanting to be alone. This crowd was here seeking Jesus. Jesus sees the crowd. He had something else that he wanted for himself, but what does he feel? Compassion. He sees the crowd and he feels compassion. He saw the individuals. He felt compassion. Friends, I believe we are called to be people who are moved by compassion, because compassion motivates action. It does. It stirs us. It touches us. It changes us. And so, it was interesting when Jesus was hanging out with Matthew and his buddies. Remember, he'd called Matthew to follow him. And then Matthew threw a party. Okay, and who did Matthew throw a party for? Who do you throw a party for? Your friends. Yeah, he throws a party for his friends. Well, who are Matthew's friends? Tax collectors. It's his crowd. That's who he was. He was a pagan. I mean, he was a non-believing Jew is what they would call it. He was somebody who was not following in the practice at the time. Here's somebody he's in the rough side of town. And he's in this group. And remember the Pharisees said when they saw Jesus doing that, they came to his disciples. It was interesting. They didn't have the guts to come face to face with Jesus and ask him about it. They said, how come your teacher hangs out with that crowd? Jesus turned and said to them, go and learn what it means, I desire compassion. very interesting. Go learn what it means. I desire compassion. Because there was no compassion for these people. They were those people. You know what I'm talking about? We've all got some of those kind of people in our lives, don't we? There's people that you're not comfortable with. There's people that you don't really want to spend time with. And Jesus says, God says, I desire compassion. He wants us to be a compassionate people. And so that's the exhortation that we're given in Scripture. Turn with me now to our primary text, or our secondary text, however it may appear to you, to Colossians chapter 3, where we're given an exhortation about compassion. But now you've seen what it looks like, so now when he tells us what we're to do, hopefully it'll make more sense to us. And I just want to walk these passages out together today. Colossians 3, verse 12. He says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. I find it very interesting. He starts off here saying, so as those who've been chosen of God, as those who are holy, as those who are beloved, he says, if you know who you are, then what you're supposed to do makes sense. See, sometimes we say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Friends, you may be a sinner and you may be saved by grace, but you are not just. You are a saint set apart to the kingdom of God. You are chosen by God. You've been placed into his family. He has a plan and a purpose for you where you are. You've been chosen for that. And he says, and you are holy. That means set apart. There's a purpose for your life. You've been set apart to something. And he says, and then you're beloved. He says that God is fondly affectionate of you. He is irrevocably committed to caring for you. He loves you. So if I am fully loved, if I'm set apart to God, and I'm chosen to be a part of his family, he says, now then do this. It's because you have adequate resource, is what he says, put on a heart of compassion. And that word put on is a word for putting on clothing. And it literally means sink into. You know, and sometimes you kind of put on a pullover or something like that. You pull it on. He says, make this your identity, that you would have a heart of compassion. He desires compassion. He says, put on a heart of compassion. Now, sometimes when we say somebody's put something on, I think they're kind of putting on. Okay, we're talking about it being phony, right? That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about it being real. He's talking about it being an identity, a key part of your life. And so what I hear him saying is, he says, choose compassion. Choose compassion. Why? There's other choices, isn't there? You can choose, say, I don't give a rip. There's a situation where I just don't care. He says, no, he says, I want you to put on compassion. I want you to choose to be a person who cares. You see, your response to people is your responsibility. He says, I want you to put this on. When Jesus came out of that boat on the shore and there's this crowd, he put on compassion. He chose. At that very spot, he could say, hey guys, me and Dad need some time. Leave me alone. He put on what they needed. He began to heal their sick. He reached out to them in this spot. So how do we put on a heart of compassion? All right? I think it's interesting because in this passages that we look at Jesus, I think he shows us a pattern. I think he shows us some clues that, at least for me this week, as I've been studying this out, have helped me see, oh, I've seen that happen before. So turn me over to Matthew chapter 9. We'll take a look at another story here. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35. It says, and Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the people. All right? And if you look into your margin, it says crowds. Okay? So seeing these enormous crowds of people, it says, he felt what? Say it with me. What? Compassion. He felt compassion. Because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus sees. Jesus feels. Jesus touches. When Christ is recognized for who he is, friends, I think you're going to see someone, and I just feel like I'm still getting to know Jesus. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you've heard these facts about Jesus, and you've studied all this stuff, and you've been walking with him a while, and every time I come to the Gospels, and I look, and I just go, wow, I still don't really get it all. There is more about how he handles life than I've seen. And so I see him here, and he sees these people, and it makes him feel compassion. Because, it says, they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. I want you to learn from Jesus here. So the first thing I want you to see, if you're going to put on a compassionate heart, all right, is that compassion sees the true needs of people. Compassion sees the true needs of people. Sometimes when we see people, we see their purple spiked hair. You've seen it, haven't you? You drove through town, you looked over and went, all you saw was their hairdo. That was all you saw, and your mind went somewhere, didn't it? Come on, fess up, you know. You're driving in town, and get ready to go do the little underpass thing, and that person just moves over there in that open space that was available by the state of Oregon for them to utilize right there in front of you, right? And what you saw was the back of a car, right? Why did that bother you? Did you see a person who needs maybe a little more grace? Did you see a person? What did you see? You know, I think we're in a lot of different situations. I think, what do you see when you see? Am I confusing you yet? He says, they were dispirited and distressed. He said, these people were oppressed and depressed. These people were having trouble in their lives. And as Jesus looked at them, he could see that there were spiritual issues going on. You know, next time somebody cuts you off, have you ever thought about just praying for that person? Just pray God's blessing on that person. You're in a situation, you see someone, you go, wow, that is strange. Hey, do you see more than that? Say, what have they been through to be in that place? You know, I've talked to homeless people. And all of a sudden, you found somebody that this person used to have a 9-to-5. This person used to have a family and a home. Something else was going on in this person. When we're in different situations, what I'm saying is, do you see what's really going on? Do you hear God calling you? Do you recognize his voice? Because I believe when you see people's true needs, it touches your heart. when you're in that situation. It touches your heart and you go, wow, that'd be a tough spot to be. They've been through something. Something's going on there. And he looked beyond the surface. And it says here, they were like sheep without a shepherd. What did he see there? Jesus saw what needed to happen in their life. They needed to come under the rule of a shepherd. They needed to come under his life. Compassion sees the needs. When you look at people in their circumstances, what do you see? Some of you have been parents. Some of you just have been around children. Sometimes you're around a child and all of a sudden you notice there's an aroma in the room. You know what I'm talking about? And you're aware of what? There is a dirty diaper. It's always interesting to see the responses to a dirty diaper. If all you're thinking about is a dirty diaper, there's an awful lot of avoidance that can take place, isn't there? But if you're thinking about that there's a baby that needs to be cared for, that there's someone who needs to be valued and cherished here, it totally changes. You'll put up with all of that, what, to care for. Do you see what I mean? It's what are you seeing? If all you see is a diaper, you're going the other direction. Hey, honey, baby needs you, right? We'll try and avoid it. But when you put on a heart of compassion, you have a choice of whether or not you see people's needs, friends. That's what I'm saying. Just open up your eyes and you've got a choice. It says, he felt compassion. That 36th verse, he saw the people, he felt. So you have to see them first. See them where they are, and then what's your response? See, at that very moment, you can judge them. That's disgusting. I want nothing to do with that. That person's terrible. Why would they act like that? I can't believe they said that. And you can push it away, or you can say, wow, they need my Jesus. They need my Jesus. So do you hear the cry that's going on in their heart? You know, you hear a baby crying, and there's a tendency for some of us, I never did real good with the baby crying thing, you know, never did real good with that. But there's this issue that in that spot where are you annoyed by the crying or are you hearing the need? That's what I'm talking about. So why don't we feel sometimes? Have you ever wondered about that? Why in some situations do we not feel the compassion of Christ? Do we not be stirred up with that? Well, you got your finger in Colossians 3. Remember, that was our text. Let me jump us back over. We'll be back in Matthew here in just a second. But look, he says in Colossians 3, he says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. You know what I found? You will not feel what God's designed you to feel unless you forgive the way God's designed you to forgive. You know, today is my 19th year, start of my anniversary. It's the 19th year. I preached here my first sermon here in 1991 on the first day of spring. And somebody asked me one time, we came here from Nevada, we'd pastored for 10 years in Nevada, and somebody said, why'd you guys take a year out? I said, because I needed to heal up. I was tired of getting beat up by the body of Christ. And if you don't deal with your pain over time, it'll harden you up. And I had noticed I was not in a healthy place. I was not responding to my family in a healthy way. Things had not been resolved that just took me down. And I stepped out of ministry for a year and just said, God, let me get the perspective again. Let me come back to that. But when you do, the cool thing is God just pours that compassion back into you. And if you stay fresh with him, you can keep going. So now it's been 19 years. He said, do I still get hurt? Yeah. Sheep bite. Okay, that's just the facts, man. Sheep bite. And yet I've got a shepherd that knows how to deal with that. And so I take it back to him. But I'm here to tell you, if you do not forgive each other, if you don't deal with that, stuff will close you off because we hurt each other. We offend each other. We do things that irritate each other. Is that the truth? Yeah. And if you don't deal with it, your heart will get hard. So deal with it. The Bible says we're to be feeling what people feel. And some of you don't like feelings at all. Those are bad things. What does it say in Scripture? Oh, did I not give him that, Tim? The compassion stuff? Compassion feels the pain of people in need. All right? Romans. Look what it says. Read with me. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Is that clear? Feel what they're feeling. Feel what they're feeling. All right? So that's a key. You get to see. You have to feel the pain that people have when they're in need. And it's interesting there, back in Matthew, Jesus said, when you see that, he says, then you pray. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send out workers into the harvest. Friends, you're supposed to be out there in the harvest as a worker. All right? I don't want you looking like the Grim Reaper though. All right? I don't want you coming across in that way. You know, sometimes people go out there and the way you're talking to people is just harsh. They need to feel the compassion of Christ in your life. But you know, Jonah was sent on a message, wasn't he? He didn't want to give it, did he? He had an attitude. He was angry. And it came through. What's blocking your compassion? You know, when you go through stuff again and again and again, what does it do? Builds calluses, doesn't it? And pretty soon you don't feel what you used to feel. That's what I'm talking about. If you're not feeling what you need to be feeling, maybe there's calluses that need to be coming off. Take those back to Christ. Mark 1, there's a story. Mark 1, we won't even go there, but there's a leper comes to Jesus. You know lepers, they were the untouchables. They'd have to walk around and say, unclean, unclean, stay away from me. He comes up to Jesus, throws himself down in front of Jesus. He says, if you're willing, you could make me clean. You know what Jesus said to him? I'm willing. I love that. You know, nothing else about your Savior you need to know. He's willing to make you clean. He's willing to deal with your issues. He says, I'm willing to make you clean. And here's the thing that's so cool. This. And he says, and he stretched out his hand and he touched him. Jesus didn't need to do that to heal him, did he? No, he did a lot of healing without ever touching. But a lot of times Jesus touched. Why? Because touch matters. It's a way of communicating compassion. Isn't that right? When somebody's hurting, what are you going to do? You give them a hug. Isn't that right? Touch matters, friends. And Jesus touched him, but you know, when he touched the leper, that makes him unclean. In his society, it was considered contagious. Jesus was willing to communicate compassion by touching people with love. And so that's this last thing I want to tell you, friends, that compassion touches people with love that meets their needs. And Jesus would do that. He'd go around and he'd touch people. He'd reach out in compassion and say, this is what, when you put on a heart of compassion, you'll see things, friends. You'll feel things and you'll touch people. You'll be willing to touch people and spend time with them. Jesus did what other people wouldn't do. And I think all of us have been in spots where we say, I'm not touching that. Haven't you said that? You know, I'm just not touching that one. Does Jesus want you to touch? That's the question. Does Jesus want you to touch? Your responses are your responsibility. Do you see the people around you that need to be touched? You're going to be put in spots where you don't know what to do. You don't know how to handle it. And yet in that place, just keep touching them. And sometimes people say, James, I don't know how you do what you do. Sometimes I don't either. I'll tell you this. I do it on my knees, asking him to show me and to teach me and to lead me. I don't got the answers. I have someone that has the answers. I have someone who is the answer. But you're going to care for people. You're going to be put in situations. You don't know what to say, what to do. In that spot, you just pray. Say, Lord, use me. A lot of times it's a touch. A lot of times it's just being willing to be with people. Let God stretch you. Okay? Stretch you to step out and do more than you'd be comfortable doing. I was talking with my mom back when she was doing foster care. She raised 6 kids. That wasn't enough, so she took on another 20. Something like that. It would just break their heart. Every child they had. So much pain, so much difficulty. And one time I was saying, I says, Mom, I says, why do you do this to yourself? I says, you don't have to do this. I still remember what she said. She said, if I don't love them, who will? She says, I can do that. She said, it hurts me, but I can do that. That's it, friends. That's Jesus. That's what he said. I can do that. And he feels compassion for us. And so when we feel compassion, it'll change how we respond to people. It changes your actions. In 1 John, he talks about it in a specific way. You want to read it with me? Whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. He has a plan for you, friends, that in deeds and truth you'd show love to other people. That's what he's calling us to. Because when you look at that spot where he says put on compassion, who calls us to put on compassion? Who? God. Jesus. So my response to people is what? It's my response to God. The compassion that you display towards people is your response to God. He's the one that called you to be compassionate. I'm here to tell you, God's going to put people in your life. They don't deserve your compassion. They haven't treated you in a way that's worthy of it. They aren't acting in a way that's responsible. What you are given a chance to respond to God. He says, put on compassion. Does God care about Grants Pass? Friends, God loves this city. God wants to see this city brought to himself. God cares about your coworker. God cares about that person that's in class with you. God cares about your grandkids. Put on compassion. Compassionate Christians will communicate Christ's compassion. And compassion will always motivate you into action. It doesn't just sit there. It'll do something. So I'm just encouraging you. What do you see? What do you feel? What needs to be touched? Let God guide you this week. Just pray that through. Say, Lord, what do you want me touching? What do you want me feeling? You know, I was thinking about this. I said, what color is compassion? We talk about the heart. What color do we make the heart? Blood red. Because God demonstrated his love for you. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is that true? Man, I'm so glad. I couldn't straighten out my own life. Jesus Christ died for me. If you've never put your faith in Christ, today I offer you the compassion of Jesus Christ. Where he says, turn and believe. If you'll believe on me, I will wash away your sin. You don't have to stay in that sin any longer. You can come to Christ. And he will have compassion on you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the work you're doing in our lives. And right here this morning, I'm just asking that you'd open us up to you to let you do that work of compassion in us, that we might be compassionate. We're not what we need to be. You could look at us and say, ugh. But you say, that's my child, and I love you. And so, Father, I'm just asking, would you turn our hearts from coldness to compassion? Would you turn our hearts from apathy to action? And Father, for those wounds that we have had, sometimes even at the hands of our friends, will you soften us that we just would pour it out for you? We love you and we need you. Save us from ourselves for your purpose and for your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.